What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. I am your host, Henry Washington, and I am joined today by my good friend, Mr. James Daynard, for a show about one of the most relatable universal problems that investors face, and that is contractors. James, have you ever had a nightmare contractor?
Never, once. Every job site has gone 100% smooth, always.
Batting a thousand.
I feel like me and you are talking about construction a lot the last couple of weeks. Definitely one of my favorite topics because, you know, I'm a value-added investor. So the construction is so important to implement correctly and have the right people on your team. We're going to cover a lot of things that will help spare our listeners some pain to where they don't make same mistakes, they can vet their contractors and avoid costly problems.
And to do that, we have brought in Mr. Rico Leon. Rico is a contractor who specializes in cleaning up other contractors' messes. In fact, he's so good at it, they gave him a show on HGTV called Rico to the Rescue, where he does just that. So today, he's going to talk to us about what red flags to look out for when hiring contractors, how to protect yourself with a strong contractor agreement, and what property owners can do even if a contractor project goes way, way out of bounds.
And I do want to say that not all contractors are bad. We reference that a lot throughout our show. There's thousands of great ones out there. We're here to help you protect yourself and make smart decisions. That's the whole thing that we got to talk about, Rico, about making smart decisions and protecting your job site.
All right. That sounds great. So let's bring in Rico. Rico Leon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So you've seen a ton of contractor work gone wrong. What's the impact of that for these families? What's at stake for them?
So, a lot of people that want to do renovation, they always, have a budget. They get started, they hire a contractor, and then things move forward. In my show, they tried to do that. And then unfortunately, that contractor would just take the money and run or cause lots of damage that is very expensive to fix. And then the contractor runs away and puts it back onto the homeowners. So this is what I'm seeing now more than ever because honestly, the pandemic is what threw a wrench into things because not only did material costs go up, but then subcontractors were getting smarter with their bidding, but the GCs weren't. So all of a sudden, a GC will say, hey, I'm going to do this project for $150,000. I have all these subs. We're going to move forward. During the pandemic, halfway through a project, he found out or she found out that they're making no money, like absolutely none. The subs are costing more, the material costs more. And then they're realizing they're doing a job for free. And the problem is they don't have that conversation with the homeowner. They just say, I want more money, or I'm going to put a lien on your house. So there are better solutions to solve these problems than just screwing over homeowners that believed what you said to begin with.
Yeah, the pandemic, it was like this breaking point in construction, because I've been in construction for a long time, 2005 to now. And, in 2008, I remember there was contractors everywhere. You could get them. It didn't matter what kind of project you had a line out the door. And then, as the market improved, resources start tightening up, right? The economy gets better. There's more work out there. And then when, like you said, it threw a wrench in it, and the wrench cost three times more than the trades. In during the pandemic, it was like we had this massive crunch of bodies and the demand and the boom and so much money got poured in the economy. It really pulled the resources out and the subcontractor prices exploded. And we've seen the same thing across the board with these general contractors is, they're bidding things. They come in too high. And then there's a million reasons of why. And there's something that breaks down with the communication of they just don't want to sit down and talk about it, where it should be like, hey, I bid this. I have a problem. We got to review this again. And there's like a lack of business etiquette there. And then that's where it just spins out of control.
Well, it's funny because over here, I think too many people are underbidding it, not overbidding it. Because if a contractor's not making money, then the priority of your house is going to be last on this person's list. And then, of course, problems arise.
Rico, in my market, what I tend to see is some of the contractors that I work with, especially the smaller mom and pop contractors, are great contractors in terms of quality of work and maybe not so great in terms of operating a business because they got into the business because they enjoy being a contractor, not necessarily because they like running a business. So you lose some of the customer service aspects or some of the communication aspects, like you said, how contractor really just need to sit down with the homeowner and say, hey, this is what we bid. This is why we bid it. But this is where we are now. Do you find a lot of that sometimes being the cause of contention, that maybe they just aren't great business operators, but they're better contractors?
That happens a lot. That happens so much. I mean, there's people that are like, that just do flooring that homeowners love so much. They're like, can you please do the rest of the house? And then that person says, well, I got a friend that does tile, and I got a friend that does plumbing, and I got a friend that does whatever. And that person will bring those guys in, but doesn't know how to manage or market up or communicate or even manage all of it. So there's so many situations that I'm seeing right now. I know the mom and pops are really good. They can build you the most gorgeous kitchen. Not great with communication, not great with their SOP, system operating procedures, not great with their finances. Because again, pre-pandemic, robbing Peter to pay Paul worked out. It worked out back then because people were paying. You could shift money, get things going. And it was kind of a smoother flow pre-pandemic. During the pandemic, robbing Peter pay Paul did not work because homeowners stopped paying because they didn't trust contractors. So now you have contractors that owe 2, 3, 4, 5 people, like subcontractors, and you have GCs that owe money. You have GCs that haven't finished work, and then it's a standstill. And then everyone's like, where's my money? And everyone's cool until money's involved. So that lack of communication is the reason why things blow up, because they don't have those systems in place. Something that a lot of people don't know, there's a new Colorado statute, a construction statute that they just passed in Colorado. So now if a contractor in Colorado spends $1 of a homeowner's money on another project, that person could ask for discovery, get the accounting, and sue right away. So they're trying to prevent contractors from doing that whole robbing Peter to pay Paul thing. So now if you want to stay in construction, spend the $15,000 on a lawyer to make sure your contracts are in place, your systems are in place, you're protected legally, have the language in place, and then make sure you have someone that manages finances beautifully to make sure everything is in line with milestones on the contract.
Yeah, that robbing Peter to pay Paul, that's a big deal. That's something that we're always looking for as renovators and where we're hiring contractors, right? And there's always this little cue that starts happening that you know what's going on. Typically, they start asking for draws a little bit earlier and earlier. That's usually my number one red flag, like going, okay, if you're requesting money too soon, you need the money. And you can kind of see it happen through the as you hire these contractors out. And, you know, to touch on a couple points that you and Henry discussed is during this boom, the subcontractors saw general contractors getting a lot of work and they thought they were making a ton of money and they just jumped right into the space. They went from electrician to general contractor. And it's kind of unfortunate because A, you lost a sub trade, but then B, they just didn't know how they were getting into it. And they didn't understand all the cost of running a general contracting license, like the licensing fees, the insurance, the payroll tax, and it snowballs on them.
Yep.
And the snowball can become detrimental to a renovation project, whether you're doing it for yourself or especially for a flipper, because if that construction project goes awry, your deal is dead.
Okay, so now that we understand what's underneath some of these contractor issues and why we're seeing so many lately, what can homeowners do to prevent these problems in the first place? We'll get Rico's answer right after the break.
What if you could buy new construction homes up to $20,000 below market value? That's right, $20,000 in instant equity. What if you could use that same $20,000 to cover your down payment or score a lower mortgage rate? Talk about being spoiled for choices. Right now, Rent to Retirement is offering investors their choice of incentives when they invest in a new turnkey property. Your options? Up to $20,000 below retail pricing on new construction homes, aka instant equity, or a 5% down payment credit. That means less cash out of your pocket. Tired of high rates? Use that $20,000 to lower your interest rate to as low as 3.99% and score free property management for a year. All right, well, now they're just getting crazy over there. Rent to Retirement's final option? No money down investor loans. Take your choice of instant equity, low or no money down, or a rate as low as 3.99%. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. REI 33777 to take advantage of these limited time incentives. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, RentReady, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability. With Plaid certified tenant income and assets reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. All tenant screening and verification is paid by the tenant and done through the desktop and mobile app. It's time to say goodbye to gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. And as a matter of fact, all Bigger Pockets pros have Rent Ready included in your pro membership. If you're not a pro, Rent Ready is offering you 50% off of their annual plan. New customers visit rentready.com and use code BP2024. That's RENTREDI.com using code BP2024. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, in the year 2024 to save 50% off of 1 year of Rent Ready. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Welcome back, investors. We're here with Rico Leon of HGTV's Rico to the Rescue, and he is rescuing all of us, we hope, from future contractor nightmares. So let's jump back in.
So it's all about prevention, you know, as we're going through, you know, things I've learned over the years is the more you vet your contractor, the more organized you are as an investor by putting things on construction contracts, having a template, a written down guide for the investor, the homeowner, and the contractor of how that job site's going to run and the processes
right.
that are going to be implemented and how change orders work, right? It really ties the whole job site together to where everyone's on the same page. How do you prevent mistakes on your job sites, right? Because a lot of times we get so excited, we just want to hire the contractor, get going, and people skip all these vital steps.
You don't get paid if you don't follow the system. You have to force people, like you hear about CRMs, right? Like CRMs organize mm-hmm. what you do, but if there's not a person that's organizing and constantly touching the CRM, then the CRM means nothing. So your processes and systems also mean nothing if there's not a person that enforces, hey, by the way, before you do this, sign a conditional lien waiver. You don't get a check until then. Make sure that you're going to do this. Prove to us that you have funds in the bank so we know that the project's going to get done. These are things that a lot, like I'm a systems guy. Like I'm an SOP guy. Like I've created language that's used to help homeowners and contractors against insurance companies. I feel like I was an internal lawyer my entire life, right? Because I know a lot of contractors like to complain versus find the solution. And the solution is creating a system that protects you and the homeowner, just get things done. Because this is the problem. Another pandemic thing. The jobs now, when it took 3 months before, it takes six. If it takes six, it takes a year now. Mm-hmm. Permitting yep. takes longer. All this kind of stuff takes longer. So you have to strategize paying your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, your kids, whatever, for 3 months longer. So you have to factor in inflation, pricing, and then also like a level of priority. If you do this proficiently, then you're fine. If you don't, you're going to end up on my show. You know what I mean? Like you're just going to end up screwing a homeowner, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy. And then I'm going to have to come in and go track everything that you did right or wrong, like insurances and everything else. And it always comes down to the process, 100%. Or they sell a job just so they could get a check today and then never necessarily prioritize them at all.
Yeah, get that funds coming into their account. And in not saying, one thing I do want to clarify is you guys, there is so many great contractors on this planet that run a professional business. I have contractors I worked with for years. It's just when it gets out of control, it can become very damaging. And, you know, so we have a standardized checklist before we hire a contractor. It's check references, check their license and bond status every time we hire them, because sometimes it lapses in the middle of your job as well. Review the bid, make sure it's itemized out by line item. Every benchmark needs to have a dollar amount associated with it. Every line item needs to have a dollar associated with it. A construction contract signed to where they know what their payment schedule is, how it works, what they're responsible for, what we're responsible for, and just keeping that clarity. And the reason we do that not only is to prevent mistakes, but to catch mistakes early. Because once these jobs snowball and they, you know, you don't get on the contractor and it gets out of control, that's where the fire starts. And it's like you can't control it at that point.
Right.
What red flags are you looking for from a contractor on a job site? What is that? Because, you know, I know I see a couple cues where I'm like, okay, something's going on here. What are those red flags that you're looking for or tell people to watch out for to know your job site needs? Is getting a little out of control.
Yeah, it unfortunately, everyone tells me what I want to hear. Contractors tell the homeowners what they want to hear also. And I feel like some of them believe it, right? Where it's like, hey, I've been doing this 30 years. My dad's dad did it. And, you know, I have a great reputation. I'm old school. I don't have the internet. I don't have websites. Like, I'm just like really good, whatever. Like, the thing is, good contractors say the exact same thing as a bad contractor. You have to, like, when I say references, it's references in the last year and a half. I don't care if you did Mrs. Jones addition in 2010. I literally don't give a because that was a billion years ago. Prices were different. What have you done successfully now, like in the last year? Because if you could do successful things in the last year, then I know you understand the processes, the systems, the pricing, and then I'll feel a lot better. So when anyone comes up to me, I look at the most recent projects that they have. And then I definitely do due diligence by calling those homeowners, making sure I was like, hey, can I stop by? Is that cool? Hey, I want to invade your privacy, but you know, I just want to make sure I'm making a good decision. It's just that vetting process has to be more, you have to spend more time on that vetting process and definitely follow up with real humans. You know, people could build a gorgeous website now with AI in an hour and a half, and it looks like they've done $100 million worth of work. So you have to do your due diligence a lot more detailed now than before.
Yeah, part of that due diligence, you know, like what we do is we check their license number. When was that established? When was that granted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a date on there. If your general contractor has a year and a half old date, that can be an issue, because the next question needs to be like, where were you working prior? Or did you own another construction business prior? Because in Washington State, it's a little bit easy to get your contractor's license. You fill out a form, you send it in. You get a bond and poof, you are a general contractor. You can go build a house.
Wow.
It is a joke.
Colorado's not like that at all.
I mean, there's so many things that come awry with that. And so we want to go into L&I website, check their name, see if they've had old companies. But it's such a joke. You have to watch out for it and you have to check those references, because one time I hired a fake contractor. He literally had a fake ID.
Yeah.
Fake bank accounts.
Yeah.
Fake. Or he had a builder's license that was real, but it was all fake identity up to it. And, I had one reference from someone that referred it over, but if I would have gone through and gone back a year or two on his references, I would have known it wasn't a real thing. And so, you know, taking that time and checking is so important, you know. And then when you do make your mistake, and sometimes you hire the wrong person, I've done that countless amount of times, you know, having that brick and mortar is so important to keep things going forward. You know, do you use construction contracts before you hire, or when you're going through the paperwork protects you on your deal. Do you use a construction contract, and what do you feel are the most important things there to be included in that agreement?
Yeah, so I have a pretty intense work authorization, very intense. And it definitely protects me from multiple things, just because I've been screwed over by the homeowners too. It's not just contractors or all the bad guys or anything like that. There's homeowners out there kind of doing the same thing. So in my work, there's multiple things. I have a pyramid, and the pyramid's a hierarchy. So the hierarchy I send to the homeowner saying, hey, I'm the owner, but only talk to me when it comes to this. This is the project manager. This is the plumber. This is the mechanical. This is this. These are the people that are in charge of this project. The main point of contact is your GC. If you're having issues with money, this, that, you call Grace, you call Jordan, you call whomever. There's things in my contract that are systematic where it's like, hey, You stay in your lane, I stay in my lane, because at the beginning, it's honeymoon period. Homeowners are excited, contractors are pumped, I'm, you know, whatever. And then a couple months in, the homeowner can turn and be, I want this, 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 this. And then a contractor can be like, oh, I'm not making money, this, this, this. So what I do is I have my systems in place where the homeowner knows what to do if this person's happy, not happy, whatever. The homeowner's responsibilities are on one sheet. So it's like, this is your job to pick this, 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 this. It's his job to do this, 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 this at this timeline. It's just getting things into systems and then enforcing it. And that's how I do pretty much any job moving forward. Like I do my due diligence on the other end where I make sure the homeowner understands how it's going to go. Because this is a problem with contractors right now. And investors do this a lot. When contractors start working on a job, the homeowner's like, well, how much are you making off of this? What's your percentage? What's your cut? How much are you taking half of it? Are you doing this? And then when that happens, it's just a standstill. Contractors stop talking. They're like, I don't want to work with this person. Like, they want to know the money. Because the second the homeowner knows how much you're making, they're going to start cutting that down. So there has to be ways where it's just like, we're doing this system. This involves all of our profit in there. If we agree to do something different, we're going to have an agreed upon change order that we will both read and sign. And then we could issue another check for that and then move forward. You got to go slow the first 3 months to make sure everyone knows what's up. Then go gung-ho.
Rico, as a homeowner is writing a contract, what are some of the things they need to do due diligence on?
It's like, you know, you as a contractor have to have, if it's not like W-9 employees, W-2 employees, then if it's a 1099 world, then you may have to make sure that they are bonded insured, like he was saying earlier, like James was saying earlier. But then on top of that, making sure their insurances are up to date, because I've seen insurances that they say they're insured and they stopped paying like a year and a half ago. So there are these things that you have to do, certain levels of due diligence. Also, as a GC to protect yourself, you have to have a subcontractor agreement with every single sub that you have. Also, because if they mess up, their insurances get hit first. Their insurance will pay for it. You as the GC don't lose $10,000, $20,000. You could get that money back, hire a different contractor for that specific trade, and then move forward. But if you don't know this stuff, like when I started, I didn't know this, right? So when I started and these guys mess up, I wrote a check for my account to just move forward and get it over with. But I know a lot of people can't do that. So having the subcontractor agreement, understanding the processes and all that kind of stuff, really streamline things. And then you start getting the profits that you want.
Rico, when I do contracts, the way I typically organize things is we'll give some sort of an upfront payment, typically no more than 25%.
Yeah.
And then we will tier out a schedule in terms of in tier one, these are the things we expect to be completed. And then we'll do a review. And if they meet those things, then we'll pay them. And then they move on to tier two.
Yes.
And then we do that maybe for three or four tiers, depending on how large the project is. Do you recommend everyone have some sort of tiered payment system in their contract?
Absolutely. I love the tier. I love that as well. And then also just put in the contract stating like, hey, we know things arise and material costs go up, or maybe you want to hire a subcontractor that's better, that's more available, and that person's more expensive. Have that conversation with the homeowner. Prove to that homeowner that this is an actual situation, then you can move forward. I tell people to not get emotionally involved, because homeowners and contractors, they get emotional, they fight, like they just fight internally. So I always say, like, you know, put it into a bank, have it in escrow, give the bank all this information of the tier system. That way you could put it on the bank and the bank's like, hey, we're not going to release another 50K unless we get proof from boom, boom, boom. So now a homeowner can take it off of their chest. They don't have to be the Karen that's like always blah, 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 blah. They could be like, hey, you know what? You want more money. It's going to cost more. So why don't we do this? Show me the proof of why and who you're going to do this, who you're going to hire. Just do the simple thing for me. I'll give it to the bank. Someone can do an inspection and then they can release the money. So now when you put things into an escrow, into a bank, now your hands are free and the bank's going to go off of the written contract.
Man, first of all, that was worth the value of the episode alone. That's a great tip to put it in escrow and blame the bank. Last night I was doing a class with James and he was giving some contractor tips and he said, and he told me something similar that I should just blame him for every time something goes wrong. So,
no,
but yeah, no, that's a great idea to put it in escrow with the bank and then that bank can help you release those funds. And obviously they're going to protect that the best way that they know how.
First of all, they want the money in the bank.
Yeah.
They make money off the interest of holding on to the money.
Yeah.
Cool, whatever. We're not going to talk about how banks make money, but they're going to do 10 times more due diligence. Let's just say maybe intentionally a little bit slower.
Yeah.
You know, maybe intentionally a little bit slower. But guess what? They're going to do more due diligence. Then the contractor could be mad with the bank versus you, the homeowner. So, and it makes things go a little bit slower, but you're safer. You don't get screwed.
Man, there is so much gold here already. But what I want to get into is how to write smart project milestones. And if things do go wrong, what options do property owners have? Rico has some genius tips for that after one more quick break.
Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So, go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP. Want to dive deep into commercial real estate, entrepreneurship, leadership, and the economy? Tune into the Walker Webcast, hosted by the CEO of Walker & Dunlop, one of the largest commercial real estate finance and advisory services firms in the nation. As an unparalleled leader in commercial real estate, CEO Willie Walker frequently appears as an expert on major platforms like CNBC and the New York Times. He's even been on the Bigger Pockets podcast network, too. On the Walker Webcast, you'll hear from guests like A-Rod, renowned economist Dr. Peter Linneman, and experts from Walker & Dunlop's capital markets, research, and investment sales groups. So fire up the Walker Webcast on your favorite podcast app or join live on Wednesdays to see Willie interact with his guests. Plus, you can always catch the replay on demand afterward. Stay ahead of the curve with insights for life from the Walker Webcast. Learn more and subscribe to the Walker Webcast at walkerdunlop.com/pockets. And be sure to follow Walker & Dunlop on all your favorite social media channels too. That's walkerdunlop.com/pockets. You're ready to open a business bank account for your new property. You know what that means? Coordinating a time between you, your co-founders, and your bank consultant. Waiting at the branch or waiting for hours on the support line. Who has time for that? With Relay, you can open a business bank account for your property 100% online from anywhere. Create up to 20 accounts to organize money by property or by categories like expenses, taxes, or investments. effortlessly collaborate with role-specific access. That means giving your cleaner a debit card for cleaning supplies or your accountant read-only access to your transactions. Own multiple businesses? Relay lets you open unlimited accounts and access them all from one centralized login. Okay, I'm going off script here. That is cool. It's annoying that I have to log into 10 business accounts with my current bank. So go sign up for RelayFi because that's a feature that I like. No monthly fees or minimums, and it takes just 10 minutes to sign up. Head on over to RelayFi.com/BiggerPockets for stress-free banking. You can join me because I'm heading on over there right now. I'm heading on over to RelayFi.com/BiggerPockets. Relay is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Thread Bank, member FDIC. The Relay Visa debit card is issued by Thread Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to our conversation with contractor Rico Leon. Let's pick up where we left off.
One thing that I have done before to Rico is working with contractors that allow me to pay with a credit card. Because in some of these situations, what I found is if they go off and they say they want more money or they say that they did something that they didn't do, I can then file a dispute with the credit card company.
Oh, interesting.
And get my money back. Have you seen contractors that, A, won't work with people with credit cards, or are you open to working with people who are going to pay with the credit cards?
You know what? That's literally never come across. I've never really had a situation with the whole credit card thing. I think if that's true, then that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think homeowners should do that to protect themselves. But I've never gone through a situation where they've done that. I think one time a homeowner bought the materials, so then they didn't have to pay the cost plus, and they bought the materials with their credit card. The materials were on site, and then I think half the materials disappeared, and they used, like, you know, it's like this weird shady thing that happened. And I'm not necessarily sure that they filed a claim saying that the person stole it, because I don't know what the process is after. Right? It's like, does a credit card file an insurance claim against the contractor's insured, or do they just do like a little investigation and then pay out? So I've never been in that scenario, because I could also see how people would abuse that scenario also. So for me, it's never been like a situation I've ever been in.
Yeah. One thing you have to watch out for on that credit card is you got to look at it, like Rico said earlier in the show, is you have to check your local laws. Every state has different lien rights. They have different contractor laws. I know, like in Oregon, from what I understand, a subcontractor can actually get in front of the bank by filing paperwork. They have all the rights in that state from what I've heard. And so you just want to make sure that it's also not a fail-safe, because if you dispute it, and let's say the credit card turns it over, they can still lien your property. And that's what the construction contracts are there to do, is like to kind of guide when they can lien, for what services. And then also in these benchmark schedules, clarify when they're going to get paid, because nothing's worse than a homeowner than someone, the contractor going, hey, I need a check. And you're going, okay, do I just give them the money? And those benchmarks are very important to have in there. You know, when I'm given a drawout, typically we actually like to do 10% down just through demo, then give them another 15% to get going. Because the most dangerous part of your renovation is that first 10%, because you are diminishing the value of that property. The day you get in and you rip all those cabinets out, you rip all that flooring out, your house is not financeable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the value is going to come down. So when you're doing these contracts, how much clarity do you have in your draw schedule? We have benchmarks going, hey, you get through demo, then we go through our construction bid, tie it in with the contract, and we highlight sections like this must be completed before the next payment. And we usually break it up in 4 to 5 payments across the board. And we have them sign it, because when they start asking us for money, we can meet with them in person and go, hey, look, we all agreed to this schedule. I want to pay you,
mm-hmm.
but you just got to get this done and I will give you a check tomorrow.
Right.
Or, you know, that's usually that red flag and that sign where I'm going, you're asking a little bit earlier. And that's where, as an investor or homeowner, I can kind of step in and go, okay, is there an issue here? What can we do to resolve this? Do you want me to go buy the materials for you and then you can install it and then I'll get you a check? There's so many solutions, because what happens is that they get in this conflict, they go to the contract and people start fighting.
Yep.
Whereas they need to get together and have a, like, go, how do we fix this situation? What are common things that you've done to kind of like mediate those? Because it's so important to get everyone on the same page.
So this is the thing, even like marriages, right? We're all in love. We start this. Some years in, maybe it's a little rocky. It's the same with almost everyone, right? They have a perception of what it was going to be like. It's not exactly to what they wanted. Now everyone's not feeling good. So in the middle of projects, let's just say a homeowner is getting iffy, but I know as a fact, I need a certain amount of money to get to the next milestone. Even if I prove it, what I do is say, hey, I'm willing to sign a conditional lien waiver, not just myself, but my subcontractors as well. So this is showing good faith on my end that I can never lien your house. I can't lien it because when you sign a conditional lien waiver, it says, you're going to hand me a check for $25K and I'm going to hand you a thing that says, I will not put a lien on your house. I'm never going to put a lien on your house under the condition that I take this money and work on your project. So if there's ever a weird, people don't have a problem with me, but let's just say so a contractor that they may not know, I always say like in the middle of a project, hey, you know what? I'm going to show good faith on my end. I'm not that type of guy that's going to be like lien, 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 money, money, money. But I do like my subs need this to do whatever. I proved it. Let's do a conditional lien waiver. That means they won't put liens and I won't put liens either. Can we meet in the middle? Yes or no? So then in middle of projects, when things go a little awry, which, you know, happens naturally, sometimes it doesn't. Those are those things that I do to put the homeowner at peace so that we can move forward. Because like my thing is this, we could argue about this for 2-3 months. And then those 2-3 months, I'm paying rent, mortgage, my car, whatever, and I'm losing money. So I try to solve things as quickly as possible and then put them at ease.
Even in the most perfect world, Rico, when you have a contract, everything's lined out, you're all in agreement and you're ready to rock and roll, there's still going to be those moments where there's miscommunications. Can you give us maybe 2 to 3 of the most common miscommunications or misunderstandings between contractors and homeowners, and then how we can potentially help people avoid those situations?
Have the conversation before signing the dotted line. Say, hey, by the way, I'm a contractor. I'm in charge of this and I control this. There's 5 things over here that I do not control. How fast permits get done, the speed of materials getting to the house, the inflation rate of this. So I have a list of things that I do not control. And what I do is I show them that list and say, hey, there's a scenario that it might be asbestos and not just drywall and insulation. In that case, when we start doing demo and or we test it and we find out there's asbestos, that demo is going to be abatement. It's going to be three times more. These are situations that may happen before we swing a hammer. So these are scenarios that I've gone through hell and back 20 times that I list up front, and then that I let them sign a paper saying that I had the conversation with them. So then when they say, well, you didn't tell me that this was going to happen, I was like, actually, yes. Now, if it's the things I can't control, then I'm free and clear and we'll figure out things together. If it's the things that I can't control, I tell homeowners all the time, throw a scenario my way to see how I handle it. So throw me a scenario where my plumber steals $10,000, and then I'll answer those things. So I tell homeowners, throw it at me. Throw me the good, bad, ugly. And these are conversations that have to happen at the beginning, but then just let the homeowner know, when this horrible thing happens, I'm going to stay here. We're going to solve it together. Let's both be logical and then move forward.
Yeah, it's all in the communication. And that's once that breaks down, the job site gets out of control. Trust is gone. You get this pull, right? And that's where you want to meet people on site, walk it together, find out a common solution. Because what you just said can really happen for investors, homeowners. The contractor starts leaning the property.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can, you know, and sometimes they're leaning it because they're supposed to be paid and they should be leaning the property. The other times, sometimes they're trying to bully the person into getting the payment, right? They're clouding the title. So you can't sell it. You can't refinance it. I know there's some things you can do as an investor or homeowner that we've had to do in the past too, where we have a dispute, we have a construction contract, we have a quality issue, we had to bring in other people to come fix the work, and we're not making that final payment, and a lien goes on, and we're trying to sell that property or refinance that property. I know for a homeowner, there's things that you can do. You can work with your title company. You can get a bond for that lien. Typically, you have to deposit 1.5 times the lien amount. And title will actually bond around that lien, and then it has to go through mediation.
Mm.
And then at that point, they'll actually release it. And so you can kind of keep moving with your day because, you know, I have had times where, you know, you're in 12% interest, the contractor's leaning your property, you don't get stuck in that debt.
Yeah, for sure.
That doesn't mean you're going to get the money, but it does mean that you can keep going on just like that contractor, because at the end, you still got to get to that resolution.
Yeah.
What other things do you suggest homeowners and investors should look for? And again, there's so many great contractors out there. It's that 10% that cause some issues, and you can get bullied. Your job site can get messed up. What other recourses do homeowners have against a contractor?
So I think, again, it's like by state, and like the whole conditional lien waiver thing is going to protect you a lot. And unfortunately, a lot of contractors are really good at telling you what you want to hear. And just to get that job going, just to get the check. And then they go like, we're going to figure it out later. And what's hard is, honestly, you got to go old school. You got to talk to people that have had phenomenal situations with a contractor from beginning to end. And again, in the last year, 2 years. So I was just saying earlier, I was like, hey, I know the guy that stole 600K total, but he stole specifically from my jobs, like $200,000-$300,000, my GC. He stole that money from me. So whenever that happens, I'm like, all right, cool. How do you prevent all these things from happening? Because there was a honeymoon period, and that was pre-pandemic. He was awesome 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And now he's obviously the opposite. So I think what you need to do is obviously talk to like inspectors, realtors, people that do, like all those people that have just recently done a project. That word of mouth is going to be more powerful than 100 reviews, which you could pay for now. Right? A sick website that you could pay for $100. AI could build you a sick website. I think you got to go a little bit old school to see that type of reputation that the contractor has. And it's a risk, right? It's always going to be a risk. Even if you have all your systems in place, contracts in place, you never know. Cause like it's human nature. You know what I mean? Like what happens if two of the subcontractors die and then the sons take over as, you know, a priority on their business. And all of a sudden sue you for whatever, because they're not going to, it's like all this kind of crazy shit could happen. So it's the thing, like what James and I have said to prevent it, like those are it. Like there's nothing else except for the certain laws in your state that can protect you anymore. Like the Colorado construction statute that just appeared here. It just, that's brand new to help the homeowners from going through and prevent contractors from playing games.
Well, Rico, this has been amazing. To kind of wrap up, what are your top three tips that a homeowner investor should do before hiring that contractor to make sure that they can kind of protect their job site? We want to hear Rico's top three.
Number one would definitely be the references, but the references have to be recent. So what have you done for me lately? That's number one. Because I, again, like I was saying earlier, like someone that was awesome 10 years ago means nothing today. It means absolutely nothing today. So references that are recent, and then proof. So you got to say, hey, what's the address? Can I see before and afters? Like you got to dig deeper. You got to assume everyone's a liar and dig deeper. Number two, I would definitely say ask a contractor the good, bad, ugly. Ask the contractor what's going to happen if the worst things happen and how that person's going to delegate it. Just be like, hey, I know things happen. Tell me how you would solve it. And then number three, get another third-party contractor, just the GC, to look over everything. I know a big mistake people make is they get architect first, and they say, hey, I want to build a house, an addition for $300K. The architect builds it. It must be for Mark Anthony in Miami, because when a GC looks at it, he's like, this is $620,000. You know? So it's like, that happens all the time. It happens all the time. So like, if you're going to mess with an architect, have a GC look at things first, and then also talk with the architect, because this is a big issue out here. People go architect first. I get it. Then they show it to four GCs, and all four GCs say it's 500K, and the architect was told 300 budget. So make sure you involve a GC that's third party, that you say, hey, this job isn't for you. I'm going to give you a couple $100 to just consult me, look over this stuff, and show me the red flags. The best couple $100 you'll ever spend, because now what do you think that lady that just spent $12,000 for the architect has to redo everything now, because she didn't involve someone that knew. So like my third tip would definitely be get a third party contractor or estimator, someone that knows how to put these things together, and pay them for their time.
Man, these are fantastic tips. I couldn't agree more. I've had architects give me amazing drawings, and I already knew off Jump Street. I'm like, this is 10 times the budget that I gave you. So
yeah. Oh, we're building Mark Wahlberg's house, I guess.
Yeah. And so if I could sum everything up here, what it sounds like to me is, you guys, we have to be human beings, right? We have to understand that contractors are in this business to make money. So let's not be surprised that they want to make money or else they wouldn't be here. But we have to have communication from all parties throughout all aspects of your project, because without the communication, you're going to lose the trust. And if you lose the trust, then now we're talking about liens and lawyers and things that can get really expensive and cause families to lose sleep. So everybody must protect themselves. We've got to get contracts in place. We have to have honest conversations about what can get done. And I loved your tip about saying, ask people what happens if in a scenario where something goes wrong, because right. You're absolutely right. What I would be looking for in that same conversation is somebody who's giving me an honest answer to say, hey, yeah, we've screwed up before. Here's how we handled that situation. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm always going to pick the contractor who seems like they're being honest with me. I don't want to pick the guy that's like, look, nah, we don't screw up like that. We don't make those kinds of mistakes. No, everybody makes mistakes. It's about how do we pick ourselves up and handle the mistakes going forward? How do we communicate with each other? It's a lot like a marriage, man. You have to have that communication up front. Man, Rico, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with people. This is very helpful information that people can actually take away and hopefully save themselves a lot of trouble. We also want to say thank you for the work that you do, for getting out there and helping families. I don't think people realize how stressful it can be on a relationship when you are trying to renovate your home and someone is taking advantage of you. And so you're really, really doing things that are helping people. And these tips are also going to help people make sure that they don't end up in that same situation. So
I do have one more tip. Yep. I do have one more tip that's so good, and I forgot to tell it, but it's so good. The homeowner that I was saving, season 2, episode 1, she put herself as named on the contractor's insurance. So when he messed up and did all this damage, the insurance companies were ready to ignore everything until we found that out. And since she's named on the insured, she's technically a client. And because of that, she got $45,000 back. That was something I learned this last year. So that's another tip for sure.
Additional insured. Yep. Before we get out of here, Rico, please let everybody know what night or day they can see your TV show on HGTV.
Awesome. So yeah, my show Rico to the Rescue is on Wednesday nights. It's like 9 Eastern, 8 Central, something like that. I'm in Mountain Time, so it's like never lined up. But every Wednesday. And then I just finished doing Battle on the Mountain, just finished last week, which I was on as well. And then next month, I'm on the celebrity season of House Hunters. So, and then I got more shows that I can't even announce yet. So anyone that supports, I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rico. This was extremely helpful. And
thank you,
hopefully
guys.
Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only. Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own. Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.